Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
stocks are mixed around the world following the two-day U.S. sell-off.
Odds are increasing the Fed will cut rates. We speak with Chicago Fed President Charles Evans.
The U.S. plans to slap tariffs on European exports.
And Tesla shares slump as Elon Musk disappoints some investors.
President Trump lashes out at Democrats and the news media in a fiery news conference, plus reaction to the murder sentence for ex-Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Oakland A's to advance to the baseball playoffs tonight at the Garden. It's opening night for the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow. Futures moving higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 79, NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris is up 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, the yield 1.58%. Yield on the two-year, 1.47%. NYMEX crude oil is little change at $52.63 a barrel. COMEX gold little change up 90 cents at $15.08.80 an ounce. The euro at 1.0962 against the dollar, British pound 1.2319, and the yen at 107.10. Nathan.
Karen, the first 2 days of the quarter have not been kind to the bulls on Wall Street. The S&P 500 has suffered its first back-to-back drop of more than 1% this year, pushing its two-day slump to the most in 2 months. U.S. stocks are now trading at their lowest level since August. Michael Hewson is chief market analyst at CMC Markets.
Recent weak economic data has raised concerns that this could precipitate a broader economic slowdown. We've obviously got U.S. payrolls data later this week, and I think there's a concern that the weakness in the manufacturing sector could trickle down into the broader global economy, and as such, I think we're going to get an awful lot more volatility in the days ahead and potentially further weakness.
Even with all the recent volatility, the U.S. stock market is trading within points of where it was 21 months ago.
The U.S. sell-off spilled into Asia overnight. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann in Hong Kong.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Fears of a global slowdown sent Asian stocks down for a second day. Japan and Australia saw steep declines of more than 2%. That risk aversion sent the yen to one-week highs. While China and South Korea were closed for holidays, Hong Kong started the day in the red after retail sales fell by the most on record as protests drag on. Shares later spiked on a report the city was invoking an emergency rule for banning face masks at public gatherings in order to control the unrest. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thanks. Weak U.S. economic data is being blamed for the latest market sell-off. It could impact the Fed's interest rate decision at the end of the month. We caught up earlier this morning with Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago President Charles Evans in Madrid.
I'm open-minded about the decision, and we'll learn more before the meeting at the end of this month. But I would say that the ISM number was a negative number for manufacturing. We'd received a number of reports over the last many months about trade uncertainties, about how manufacturing enterprises were a bit reticent to expand capacity. Capital expenditures have been very weak. And so I think it is a little more confirmation of the reports that we had been seeing. And I think it'll be very important to see the progression from here.
Fed fund futures are now indicating a 75% chance of a Fed rate cut on October 31st. Bloomberg Terminal customers can get all the latest Fed rate move projections by typing in WIRP Go on the terminal.
The Fed will get another batch of economic reports to mull over today. Today's ISM report on American service industries could add to signs of a slowing economy. Economists are forecasting weaker data, an index reading of 55. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In August, the ISM non-manufacturing index rose to 56.4, the highest since May. New orders reached a six-month high. Since then, there have been signs the economy is moderating. The ISM's factory index for September dropped to the lowest since the last recession a decade ago. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index also declined, posting the largest drop in 9 months. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. The euro area economy stagnated at the end of the third quarter as factories suffered from falling global demand. A purchasing manager's index for the 19-nation region slid to 50.1 in September. That's the lowest level in more than 6 years.
The trade war is heating up between the U.S. and Europe. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The price of scotch, fresh French wine, cheese and other European exports is about to go up in the U.S. That's after the Trump administration announced new tariffs on billions of dollars of EU products starting on October the 18th. President Trump got the go-ahead from the World Trade Organization to impose tariffs on as much as $7.5 billion worth of exports annually. That's in retaliation for illegal government aid to Airbus. It's the biggest award in WTO history, but shares of European luxury companies gained after some measures weren't as severe as some expected. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. On the corporate front, shares of Tesla are down more than 4%. Carmaker set another record for quarterly vehicle deliveries, but fell short of a mark CEO Elon Musk said was possible just last week. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The electric carmaker handed over 97,000 vehicles to customers in the third quarter, exceeding the 95,356 reported for the prior 3 months. Musk told employees last month they had a shot at reaching the six-figure mark for the first time. Tesla does not disclose deliveries by region, but the U.S., China, Norway, and the Netherlands were its biggest sources of revenue in the second quarter. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Shares of GoPro down more than 13% in early trading. The company cut forecasts and said shipments of its new Hero 8 Black camera will be delayed.
Stage is being set for mergers among discount brokerages. E-Trade has joined major rivals in a race to the bottom. It cut trading commissions to zero following similar moves by Charles Schwab and TD Ameritrade. That's expected to hammer revenue, and it sent shares of the brokerages plummeting.
And futures this morning higher. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 75, NASDAQ futures up 31, and no trading in Germany today. It's a holiday. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr, no holiday for him. He's got world and national headlines. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. There were contrasting news conferences by President Donald Trump and House Democrats of the impeachment inquiry. Trump turned to name-calling and foul language yesterday as he defended himself from the probe he labeled bull blank. President Trump also took a swipe at House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff with a locker room insult in supporting Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
You know, there's an expression. He couldn't carry his blank strap. I won't say it because they'll say it was so terrible to say. But that guy couldn't carry his blank strap.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her allies promised a broad new subpoena for documents and witnesses. Pelosi on ABC.
I think the president knows the argument that can be made against him, and he's scared. And so he's trying to divert attention from that.
It's unclear where it came from, but an alleged conspiracy file on Ukraine has been handed over to congressional investigators. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the latest twist in the House impeachment story.
On the heels of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's denunciation of demands for testimony from State Department officials.
We won't tolerate folks on Capitol Hill bullying, intimidating State Department employees. That's unacceptable.
The State Department's watchdog inspector general briefed lawmakers on Capitol Hill in the latest and perhaps strangest development in the accelerating House impeachment probe. Democrats say he shared a packet of material allegedly containing notes from interviews that took place at Rudy Giuliani's New York office involving debunked conspiracies related to Ukraine. The document purports to come from the White House and to have been directed to Pompeo's office, but its relevance to the inquiry is unclear. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Senator Bernie Sanders has suspended his presidential campaign while recovering from a heart procedure to have two stents implanted. The Justice Department asked a federal judge to temporarily block a subpoena from the Manhattan District Attorney that would require President Trump to turn over 8 years of his personal and corporate tax returns. A white former Dallas police officer was sentenced to 10 years in prison for killing her black neighbor in his apartment. In the courtroom, the younger brother of the victim, Botham Jean, hugged crying ex-officer Amber Geiger, saying he forgives her. Later, demonstrators marched through parts of downtown Dallas to protest the sentence. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, two of baseball's lowest payroll teams met in the one-game winner-take-all American League wildcard playoff in Oakland, where they normally don't draw a lot of fans. 50,000 came out. It was all Tampa Bay. The Rays had four home runs, two by Yandy Diaz. He hit one to lead off the game. They beat the A's 5-1. Charlie Morton earned the win. He'll now face his former team. Morton helped Houston win the World Series 2 years ago. The Astros announced their rotation for that series. Justin Verlander, then Garrett Cole, then Zach Greinke, three of baseball's best. Yankees said to be still deliberating over the roster and rotation. Game one's tomorrow night at the stadium. Here's Aaron Judge on the Twins.
You know, they got a potent lineup. You know, you can tell by the home run numbers. You know, up and down, you know, you got guys, you know, up and down that lineup that can hurt you. You know, great, you know, starting rotation. You know, great, you know, back in the bullpen. I know they made some acquisitions, you know, at the trade deadline. But, yeah, but like I said before, you know, we just got to play our game. If we play our game, you know, we'll get the results we want.
Mentioned the home run numbers. Minnesota hit 307 this season, most in baseball history, one more than the Yanks. NLDS begins today, 5 o'clock. Cardinals, Braves in Atlanta, then it's Washington and the Dodgers in L.A. Week 5 NFL starts tonight. Rams and Seahawks in Seattle, both teams 3-1. The Rams just had their first loss, gave up 55 points to Tampa Bay. Surprise appearance at Giants practice by Saquon Barkley. The high ankle sprain expected to keep him out up to 2 months. Pat Shurmur has not ruled Barkley out for Sunday's game with Minnesota. Tonight at the Garden, they drop the puck. It is opening night for the Rangers. They take on the Winnipeg Jets. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It seems America's pastime is losing popularity at the ballparks. Major League Baseball's average attendance dropped 1.7% this year, the fourth straight decline. Five of the six biggest drops were by teams with losing records. Toronto, Seattle, San Francisco, Detroit, they combined for more than 1.8 million fewer tickets. Total attendance, 68.5 million. That was down more than 5% from 2015. Futures are pointing to a higher open after two straight days of 1% declines for the S&P 500. This is Bloomberg. And sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen. They solve. They do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are drifting in Europe. U.S. stock index futures are climbing as investors look ahead to key data on the health of the world's biggest economy. Shares fell across most of Asia while government bonds advanced. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 11 points, Dow futures up 84, NASDAQ futures up 35. It's a holiday in Germany today, no trading on the DAX. The FTSE 100 is down 0.6%, while the CAC in Paris is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.57%, yield on the 2-year 1.46%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 23 cents at $52.41 a barrel. COMEX gold is up less than 0.1%, up 70 cents at $15.08.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.0961 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2308. And the yen at 107.07. Today, we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. Then at 10, we get reports on the service industries, factory orders, and durable goods orders. And PepsiCo and Constellation Brands are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump repeatedly defended himself against allegations he asked Ukraine for help to get dirt on rival Joe Biden. At a joint news conference with Finland's president, Trump called the former VP and his son Hunter stone-cold crooked. Biden, while campaigning in Reno, Nevada, responded.
You're not going to destroy me, and you're not going to destroy my family. I don't care how much money you spend, Mr. President, or how dirty the attacks get.
Hong Kong police groups are urging the city to impose curfews and invoke other powers under a controversial colonial-era emergency law as escalating unrest continues. In baseball's AL wildcard game, the A's were eliminated, losing to the Rays 5-1. The NHL hockey season started last night. The Capitals skated past the Blues in overtime 3-2. Week 5 of the NFL season begins tonight with the Seahawks hosting the Rams. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Just before 5:20 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this morning, Jeremy Stretch, head of G10 FX Strategy at CIBC, Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. Well, what a start to the fourth quarter, Jeremy. With the weak economic data we've seen out of the U.S., is it going to put a burnish in King Dollar's crown?
Good morning, Nathan. Well, certainly it has made markets and investors just question that continued perpetuation of dollar resilience. And I think it is going to be fascinating to see how the data does play out over the course of the next few sessions, because, of course, that services ISM today will be keenly focused upon in the wake of that disappointing manufacturing print. And, of course, we also get employment tomorrow. So there are two big metrics over the course of the next 24 hours or so, which markets will focus upon in terms of trying to understand the degree of momentum in the U.S. economy and what that implies for the Fed outlook. And, of course, if we are going to see markets continuing to price in easier and looser monetary policy stances in the U.S., then that will possibly weigh to an extent on what has been a pretty stellar run for the dollar.
Well, what's your outlook? Do you see signs that the weakness in manufacturing could spill over into the economy more broadly into services?
Well, I think there is a risk of that, and I think we will be looking quite closely at some of the underlying dynamics, particularly in terms of the labor market. So I think vacancies are one factor, the underemployment rate within the non-farm payrolls released tomorrow as well, because those are symptomatic of signs that perhaps the consumer may prove to be becoming a little more fatigued as we go forward. And if we are going to see less impetus from the consumer side, and we do see some legacy of that manufacturing slowdown being impacted in services, then I think that does underline the presumption of the Fed still being in play before the end of the year. And, of course, markets have materially upgraded their prospects for a cut this month. So it is the case that I think the data will be forensically examined for signs of a deceleration and rate expectations influenced accordingly.
What's your feel for where the Fed is right now? Is it still data dependence? Is that still the watchword? Or could we be heading into an easing cycle now, depending on how this data, particularly this week, play out?
Data dependence, absolutely, although in a sense you could argue that all central banks should always be data dependent, because of course that is commensurate with the influences on their policy targets. Are we in anything more than a mid-cycle slowdown and a degree of insurance cuts? Well, in a sense, I think the answer to that also comes back to what are the external issues which have been causing some of this slowdown risk, and that of course comes to trade friction. So in a sense, for now, at least, I think the Fed would argue that, yes, they're focusing on the data and will be dependent upon it, but we are just looking at a mid-cycle adjustment in what is a protracted economic cycle in the U.S., and assuming there isn't a further deterioration in the trade cycle, then that should stay the hand of the Fed into 2020. But of course, you know, the trade cycle is not at the behest of Fed policy, so it is going to be a case that they may well have to be a little more reactive in that particular context.
That said, are you thinking the resumption of talks next week between the U.S. and China could make any difference?
Well, if we can get through those talks without any apparent breakdowns, then I think that may well put something of a floor in terms of the uncertainties on the confidence side. I'm not sure that we will get any obvious and immediate resolution. So I think anybody who's hoping that we will see a material reduction in the sort of the trade temperature may prove to be a little disappointed. But I think the fact that talks are going to resume, and if we can assume that they aren't likely to break up too quickly, particularly with a degree of dissent on either side, then it should be the case that that might provide a little bit of support for sentiment. But of course, as I say, prior to then, we get two big data releases, which will clearly influence market sentiment.
Absolutely. Jeremy Stretch, thanks as always. Jeremy Stretch is head of G10 FX strategy at CIBC, the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. And just a quick snapshot of the currency markets as they stand right now. The euro is trading at 1.0964 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2312. The yen at 107.07. As for equity markets, bit of a lift after the losses to start the quarter. S&P futures are higher by 11 points right now. Dow futures up 81 points. And NASDAQ futures higher by just about 33 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And it's now 5:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stabilization in U.S. futures following the two-day sell-off to begin the fourth quarter. S&P futures are up a third above a percent. European averages are mixed, while stocks in Japan drop more than 2%.
The recent weak manufacturing data are increasing the odds of a rate hike at the end of the month. Rate cut, I should say, something we talked about with Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago President Charles Evans in Madrid.
Thinking about monetary policy and what the right positioning is, I definitely think that the FOMC has been moving to what at one point last year looked like headed for slightly modest, restrictive position. Now we have an accommodative position, and whether or not one more rate cut at this point is the right decision or not, I think we're just going to have to go into the meeting and see.
Fed fund futures now indicate a 73% chance the Fed cuts rates October 31st. Bloomberg Terminal customers can get all the latest Fed rate move projections by typing in WIRP on the Bloomberg.
We'll get another reading on the labor market ahead of tomorrow's key jobs report. This morning, the Labor Department issues the weekly jobless claims report, and economists are forecasting claims rose by 2,000 last week to 215,000. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In the prior week, jobless claims rose to a three-month high of 213,000. Bloomberg Economics says the impact of the General Motors strike could inflate today's data. While strikers aren't generally entitled to unemployment benefits, other workers affected by the walkout could qualify for help. On Friday, the government issues its monthly employment report. This week's softer-than-expected ADP employment report points to a slowdown. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. The Trump administration's announced new tariffs on up to $7.5 billion of European products beginning October 18th. The U.S. got the go-ahead from the World Trade Organization. It's the largest award in WTO history.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit plan faces a test in Parliament today, and he's optimistic he's finally got enough support from Eurosceptics to get a deal passed.
Shares of Tesla are down about 4% in the pre-market. The electric carmaker delivered a record 97,000 cars. But founder Elon Musk had hyped the idea of reaching 100,000.
And futures are higher, with S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 72, NASDAQ futures up 30. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. No trading in Germany today. The FTSE 100 is down about 0.7 of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.57%, and the yield on the 2-year is at 1.46%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump lashed out at Democrats and the news media during a fiery news conference yesterday and stepped up his attack on former Vice President Joe Biden. Bloomberg's Mark Mills with the story.
Trump accused House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of lying and engaging in treason and blasted reporters as corrupt for their coverage of the fast-developing inquiry. He also accused Democratic rival Joe Biden and his son Hunter of being, quote, stone-cold crooked.
Biden's son is corrupt, and Biden is corrupt.
Biden responded to the president during an event in Las Vegas.
You're not going to destroy me, and you're not going to destroy my family. I don't care how much money you spend, Mr. President, or how dirty the attacks get.
Biden said, let me make something clear to Mr. Trump and his hatchet men. I'm not going anywhere. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Aides to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo cautioned against unfounded reports suggesting that the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine was a hotbed of Democratic support. That's according to documents turned over to Congress by the State Department's watchdog. A 10-year prison sentence was given to a white former Dallas police officer who shot and killed her black neighbor after saying she mistook Botham Jean's apartment for hers. The sentence has sparked anger, but also moments of forgiveness. Jean's 18-year-old brother hugged the sobbing officer in a stunning courtroom scene yesterday. Brant Jean told ex-officer Amber Geiger that he loved her as a person and didn't wish anything bad on her.
I think giving her life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do.
Connecticut officials say seven people are confirmed dead following yesterday's fiery crash of a vintage World War II military plane. It happened at Bradley International Airport north of Hartford. The B-17 bomber experienced problems and lost control as it attempted to return to the runway. The NTSB's Jennifer Hamady.
The crew circled back to runway 6 and attempted to land on runway 6. They impacted the instrument landing system stanchions. The plane veered to the right, crossed over a grassy area, crossed over the taxiway, and impacted a de-icing facility.
A total of 13 people were on board. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, the Tampa Bay Rays' first postseason game in 6 years went well. In Oakland, Yandy Diaz led off with a home run, later hit another. Acevedo Garcia, a two-run homer. Tommy Pham, a solo shot. The Rays beat the A's in the AL wildcard game 5-1. In decisive postseason games, either advance or go home, the A's have now lost 9 in a row. Their last win in that situation was in the 1973 World Series against the Mets. NLDS doubleheader today, St. Louis and Atlanta, then Washington and Los Angeles. ALDS starts tomorrow. Tampa Bay visits Houston, and then it's Minnesota at the Yankees, and we still don't know who the Yankees starting pitcher will be. James Paxton would seem like a strong candidate for Aaron Boone. Paxton has won 10 in a row.
I expect him to go pitch really well and have a ton of confidence in his ability to do that. He's really, I think, done a good job in kind of settling into being here in New York, being a Yankee. I have no reservations about him not being able to not flourish in the environment.
Yanks hoping to have Edwin Encarnacion in the lineup. Hasn't played in 3 weeks, but took part in batting practice yesterday. NFL tonight, Rams and Seahawks in Seattle. The winless Jets on Sunday visit Philadelphia. Can Sam Darnold return from mono? His coach is Adam Gase.
He's been cleared medically. He has been cleared for non-contact. So they're not allowed to hit him yet, which we shouldn't have that problem in practice. Take this day to day, you know, meeting with the doctors a lot, just keep getting the information we need.
If Darnold can't go, it'll be Luke Falk. After 7 straight seasons in the playoff, the Rangers have missed out each of the last 2. They open the season tonight at the Garden against Winnipeg. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on how private equity works and how it took over everything. Hema Parmar wrote a story for Bloomberg Business Week focusing on PE returns.
So there are a number of concerns that people have with how these returns are calculated. And one of them is the math around what's called the internal rate of return. It's a key metric that investors use to gauge how a private equity fund is doing and if they want to consider them to invest. The math around that basically is that the shorter the amount of time you can invest the investor's actual money, the better the returns will look.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can subscribe to the magazine at MAG Go. And radio listeners can hear Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. A bipartisan collection of New Jersey state senators is pushing to revive a panel that's dedicated to helping business owners clear a path through what they say are overly burdensome government regulations. They're proposing bringing back the state's Government Efficiency and Regulatory Review Commission. New York and Connecticut want to create similar regulations on marijuana and vaping to keep consumers from hopping over the border to buy outlawed or lower tax products. NJ.com says they want New Jersey to join them as well. Now, the New York State Department of Financial Services has launched a probe to determine if life insurers and their agents are taking advantage of teachers. Dow Jones reports the probe involves sales of high-cost and inappropriate investments in so-called 403B retirement savings programs. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Martin DeCaro on WLW in Cincinnati. I'm reporting on grocery chain Kroger cutting hundreds of jobs nationwide.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on the promised turnaround from Bed Bath & Beyond.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WHAM 1180 in Rochester, New York, we're watching for earnings from Constellation Brands.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the dramatic fall in shares for Ted Baker after management turmoil and online competition.
I'm Ed Khoury on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the UAW held talks this week about staging a no-confidence vote on GM CEO Mary Barra.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We're also going to be watching earnings this morning. Latest quarterly reports from PepsiCo and Costco come out today. Bloomberg customers can check the earnings calendar on the terminal by typing ACDR Go. Futures pointing to a higher open this morning on Wall Street. S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures higher by 32.5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 5:41 on Wall Street. We've seen plenty of volatility in the markets, but are they really going anywhere? We speak next with Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning. European shares drifting as investors look ahead to key data on the health of the world's biggest economy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points. Dow futures up 76. NASDAQ futures up 32. No trading in Germany today. The FTSE 100 is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 1.57%. Yield on the 2-year 1.46%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 9 cents at $52.54 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 70 cents at $15.0720 an ounce. The euro 1.0954 against the dollar. The yen 107.12. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump lashed out at Democrats and the news media during a fiery news conference as he was questioned about the impeachment inquiry. Trump accused Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of engaging in treason. Protests were on the streets of Dallas last night following the sentencing of former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger, given 10 years in prison for fatally shooting her upstairs neighbor Botham Jean last September. In baseball's AL wildcard game, the A's were eliminated, losing to the Rays. In the NHL season debut, the Capitals skated past the Blues in overtime 3-2. Week 5 of the NFL season begins tonight with the Seahawks hosting the Rams. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Let's get a read on where these markets could be headed now. For that, we bring in Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Of course, markets have gotten off to a really rough start to the fourth quarter here, Christina. Do you think the bull market is over?
I don't think the
bull market is over, but we're definitely in a pause mode. Really, the reality of the trade wars hit U.S. markets on Tuesday with that ISM manufacturing print. And so now there is heightened sensitivity to economic data coming out, especially following on all the weakness we've seen in Eurozone data. And so we're going to be highly sensitive, I think, today to the ISM services print and, of course, tomorrow to the September jobs report.
Now, of course, the markets have been sensitive to the trade war for some time now. What made this services print this week different, or is it different?
Well, it's different because keep in mind that we had put fears of recession behind us after the yield curve uninverted, right? We had an inverted yield curve in August, and there was all this concern about recession. And then, of course, the yield curve steepened. Economic data was fairly good, and so at least for U.S. investors, they put those fears aside. And they came; those chickens came back to roost on Tuesday, and so, of course, now there is more and more talk about the possibility of recession and, of course, the impact that the trade wars are having. Certainly, the U.S. is not on the front lines of the trade wars when it comes to damage being wreaked, but there's a growing recognition that we are not going to go unscathed, particularly if the trade wars last longer and get worse.
So are you thinking then, are you on the side of the U.S. perhaps heading toward a recession sooner than we've thought up to now?
I am not. Our base case is that the U.S. economy decelerates in the next year, but that it avoids recession. However, so much of this will be dictated by what happens with the trade wars in the next several months.
So what are you looking at in terms of that? We've got the talks coming up next week. Is there reason to think that we might see anything positive come out of the resumption of negotiations?
Well, not so much the resumption of negotiations, but the impending 2020 U.S. presidential election. I believe that the closer we get to that election date, the more likely it is that the U.S. capitulates, that it takes small concessions from China and calls it a day with the trade wars.
When you talk about political risk, you couldn't help but notice President Trump yesterday. I mean, obviously, with his Twitter feed, he's blamed ups and downs in the stock market for a lot of different things. But yesterday he tweeted that the impeachment inquiry is what caused yesterday's sell-off. Do you see that?
Oh, definitely not. And we've seen it historically that really impeachment inquiries, that kind of political, those kinds of political events really are just background noise. What markets care about, of course, is fundamentals, but also macro events like trade. I don't think there's really a lot of space to worry about impeachment.
So you don't think that there's any reason for investors to price in political risk in any way?
Certainly not now. I mean, really, the only geopolitical risk they should be pricing in and worried about is the U.S.-China trade wars.
So where do you see opportunity in this market right now, given all the volatility we've seen, not just this quarter, but, you know, really over the last year and a half or more?
Well, there are opportunities everywhere, and we have to recognize that in the U.S., valuations are stretched. But there's still pockets of opportunity, and especially for those with a long enough time horizon, attractive areas have popped up, like technology. If we go around the world, valuations are far more attractive. Emerging markets equities look attractive. If, in particular, China. China continues to be hurt by concerns that it will not fare well in these trade wars, and certainly some of the data has borne that out. But I believe that China will throw enough stimulus at its economy, both fiscal and monetary, to keep growing at a decent pace. And, of course, so Chinese stocks do look attractive as well in this environment.
Christina Hooper, thank you as always. That's Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is currently 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Members of the House Financial Services Committee are asking the Federal Reserve to take up the project of developing a dollar digital currency. In a letter, the lawmakers say more than 40 countries have developed or are working on their own national digital currencies. Meanwhile, the UK government will review how it defines an online marketplace in its proposed digital services tax. It would impose a 2% tax on revenue earned by large digital businesses from search engines and social media platforms. And UBS Financial Services will pay FINRA $2 million for not addressing tax issues tied to short positions in muni bonds.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, other legal news we're watching this morning. Supreme Court justices return to work this week for a new term with several abortion cases waiting for them that'll be hard to avoid. Rulings on major cases could come next June in the heat of the presidential campaign. Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr for more on the story.
Greg, cases involving challenges to laws in Louisiana and Indiana will be before the justices in Tuesday's private conference. But neither of the cases directly challenges Roe v. Wade or Planned Parenthood v. Casey. So what's the concern?
The concern for abortion rights advocates is that the court could use these cases to start chipping away at the core abortion right, even if it doesn't directly consider whether to overturn Roe and Casey. Both these two cases do raise questions about that big ruling from a few years ago where the Supreme Court struck down Texas's rule requiring doctors to have hospital admitting privileges. That was seen at the time as the biggest abortion rights ruling victory in a generation. Since then, of course, the court's composition has changed, and there's at least the potential that the court will start pushing back on that this term.
So let's talk about that Louisiana case, which seems to replicate the Texas case.
Yeah, it's very, very similar in terms of what it does. It requires doctors, if they're going to perform abortions, to have admitting privileges at a hospital nearby. And abortion rights advocates say it's really hard to get those privileges, and the effect of it would be that it closes a number of clinics around the state, leaves the state with only one open clinic. Louisiana disputes that, and a federal appeals court said, essentially, we agree with Louisiana about the impact of this law. It's not nearly as great as what happened in that Texas case, and therefore we can distinguish it from what the Supreme Court said in Texas and uphold the law. The Supreme Court has previously stopped this law from going into effect. Chief Justice John Roberts joined with the court's five liberals to do that back in February. Now the court's going to say whether it's going to take up the appeal on the merits. If they do, really all bets are off in terms of which way the court might go.
And that was Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 10 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 32. No trading in Germany today. The FTSE 100 is down 0.4%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds. Yield 1.57%. The yield on the two-year, 1.46%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.2% or 10 cents at $52.55 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.60 at $15.06.30 an ounce. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.